We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it's living, it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Our scripture this morning comes out of Matthew. It's a familiar story, I would hope, to most of you. Matthew 22, verse 32. Hear God's word. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for these stories, these episodes in your life that you have preserved and brought to us so that we might understand more about who you are and what you want and desire from us, how we can serve you, how we can be your son or daughter in this place. Oh God, let your Holy Spirit teach us this word as only you can. Let your Holy Spirit correct us and change us, transform us just a little bit more into the person of God that you want us to be, into your image, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for that gift. Minister your grace to us as we wait before you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, what a story, huh? We've all heard a lot of comments about Peter, I'm sure. Peter is one of those folks that you sort of stand and say, "Oh my goodness, what's he doing?" But then every time you say that, you think about all those times that you did the very same thing Peter's doing. The fact he only made it a few steps out of that boat, that his faith weakened, that he was maybe too impulsive. You know, I used to think this was somewhat of a humbling moment for Peter. After he gets out of the boat and he starts walking toward Jesus, he gets distracted by the waves, the wind, and he begins to sink. Had to be rescued by Jesus. Failed once more, right? But the fact is, even though Peter didn't do it perfectly, Peter did walk on water. Read it carefully. He walked on water, which is a whole lot more than I can say about the rest of those disciples who were clinging to themselves in the boat. That's what I love about Peter. You see, he was willing to take a risk. He was willing to take a chance. And I'm convinced that that's why Peter was blessed so much by God throughout his life and ministry. He never hesitated to step out in faith. Never. In Matthew 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Good old Peter. It was Peter who answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." On the day of Pentecost, there he was again. It was Peter who stood up before the crowd who had gathered for that festival in Jerusalem. Thousands of people, and boldly preached the gospel of Christ, and 3,000 were saved that day. In Acts 3, again, it was Peter who saw the crippled man begging at the temple gate and said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Rise up and walk. The Bible says, then Peter took this man's hand and he picked him up off the ground, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now just think about that a moment. Can you imagine the faith that must have taken on Peter's part? Can you imagine how that event affected the building of God's kingdom in that place? All those people who saw what Peter did. God blessed Peter because he was willing to take risks. He was willing to step out in faith. And I'm not talking about leaping before you look. He did that too sometimes. I'm talking about a calculated, fact-based, pretty much, leap. Based on the assurance of God's word and God's promise. I'm talking about stepping out in faith that through God's power, you will be able to do what otherwise you could never do. That's what faith enables us. That's what faith allows us to be. It isn't that we are all followers of Christ and we just sometimes step out and sometimes don't. It's that we consistently or somewhat consistently step out, take the chance on God's side. Do what He said was possible. We're asked to do the seemingly impossible, you know. We're asked to go into all the world and make disciples. We're asked to pray for healing for one another, for the well-being of one another, for the safety. We can't deliver all that. Not in ourselves, but God can. God can. And we're asked to do the seemingly impossible. And you begin that process by surrendering the control of your life. That seemed pretty impossible to do too, didn't it? At one point. Maybe even now. By giving Him your time, your talent, your resources for the work of His kingdom. You know, this morning God is calling. God is calling. Maybe something He's been saying to you for some time or something brand new. But I can assure you that God is challenging you. God is calling you to something. Every one of us. You might think, well, I've settled that score years ago. No, you haven't. You started settling it maybe years ago, but you're not settled. You're not settled as long as you're breathing. God is calling, always calling, to a deeper relationship with Him, to a deeper experience of His grace and His forgiveness and His power and His love of walking with Jesus. How many of us can say that we've arrived? How many of us can say that we are truly 100% walking with Jesus? So how do you walk with Jesus? How do you do it? Well, that's where this story comes in so beautifully. God shows us. He shows us. And you begin, and this is real simple, you begin by simply expressing your willingness to take a step. Express of God your desire, your willingness to grow just a little bit more. To say to God, "Hey, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. I'm not as good as I ought to be. I want to grow a little more. I want to take another step. To begin living by faith, you have to take the initiative. And that's what Peter did. When he and the other disciples were on the boat later that evening, they saw Jesus walking toward them. And they were frightened because they didn't know it was Jesus. They just saw this image, this what looked like a man walking to them in the middle of the night with the wind and the waves tossing the boat around. They thought he was a ghost. What would you think he was? Jesus then called out to them in verse 27. He said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." I always liked that about Jesus. We might have a little fear, but he recognizes that we might have a little fear. And, hey, don't worry, it's me. He does that all the way through our life, doesn't he? And notice what Peter said next in verse 28. He said, "Lord, if that's you, then tell me to come to you on the water. Tell me to come to you on the water." You see, Peter wasn't absolutely sure it was Jesus. It was something. Looked like a person. But he hadn't dismissed that whole ghost idea yet, maybe, or whatever. What walks on water? You know, not people, right? He wasn't sure. "If it is you," he says. Little test, isn't it? At one level, Peter's words were just that. They were a fleece. "If it's you, Lord." On the other level, Peter's saying, if that's really Jesus, I want to take things up a notch. I want to move my faith up to the next level. Lord, I'm ready to trust you to do what is impossible. I believe you can make it happen. I'm ready to walk on the water to wherever you are. The first thing Peter did was to decide in his heart and express to Jesus his willingness to step out in faith. And that's the first step always if you're going to walk with Jesus. Lord, I'm ready to take that step of faith. Now think about this a little bit. What do you suppose got Peter ready to make such a leap of faith, such a step all of a sudden? What moved him? What prompted him? What was the motivating factor in this story? Certainly seeing Jesus and hearing his invitation, that was a motivation. But what was it at that moment that prepared Peter's heart for this leap of faith? What was the condition of these disciples gathered in this boat, Peter included? They were afraid, weren't they? Fear. Now, fear can do good things as well as bad. He said to the other disciples Peter with the other disciples thought they had seen a ghost. They didn't know what was out there. The Bible tells us they cried out in fear, to themselves or to whoever could hear them out there in the wind and the waves. Here's a boat full of grown men crying out loud because they saw something they didn't recognize in the water. Some of them were professional fishermen. They weren't new to this. Wasn't their first boat ride, but it was sure their first time to experience seeing some sort of aberration on the waves. And yet Peter's response to his fear, Peter's response was, "Lord, if that's you, is that you? Is that really you?" You see, Jesus had already called out and said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." Really? "If it's you, I'm ready to step out in faith," Peter says. "I'm ready to do the impossible. I'm ready for a miracle. A supernatural." This is the way that we all should respond, I think, to fear. "Lord, I'm afraid." Own it. "I'm afraid of what I see in my life, but I'm willing to step out in faith. I'm willing to trust you." Think about it. Have you been attacked by fear recently? Maybe the fear of a marriage that's struggling, falling apart. Fear of your children slipping away. Fear of financial disaster. Fear of failing health. Lots of fears out there, aren't there? Fear has that amazing capacity to get our attention. And the best way to respond is just exactly how Peter responded. Lord, I'm willing to take a step of faith. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to deal with this fear. Tell me what to do. What do you want? What do I need to do? Settle it in your heart and mind and say to God, I'm ready. I'm ready to take a step of faith. Tell me what to do. Second ingredient that bounces out of this story to walking with Jesus is when you get the go-ahead, go ahead. Go ahead. Peter did exactly the way it should be done. Look at 28 and 29. Lord, if it is you, he replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And then Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And he came toward Jesus. That's what Scripture says. Just textbook perfect. Textbook perfect. That's how it's supposed to be done. That's how you and I are supposed to deal with those unknowns, with those question marks, with those fears. And the problem with many of us is we don't do it that way. We try all sorts of variations on the theme, and the variations don't work. Sometimes we don't wait at all for the go-ahead. We jump first and pray second, right? Say, Lord, fix this mess I just created. Whatever. And while we're in midair, maybe, you know, we think about, uh-oh, I should have brought God along with me. So we utter a prayer. Oh, by the way, Lord, I'm getting out of the boat into the water. Please don't let me drown. Something like that. Another variation, sometimes we say, Lord, tell me what to do. And he says, come to me on the water. And we say, I'm listening, Lord. Just tell me what to do. And he says, come to me on the water. And we say, I'm seeking your will, Lord. If you want me to step out into the water, just give me a sign. Some sort of a sign. Let me know what I should be doing. And the Lord says, come to me on the water. And really, we're not listening at all. Trying to make excuses. Or sometimes we say, Lord, tell me what to do. And he says, come to me on the water. And we say, okay, Lord, but first could you create maybe a little island between you and me, or a little bridge, something like that. You know, just think of all the glory you'll receive when people hear of the miracle of an island being formed right out here in the middle of the lake. In answer to my prayer. And Jesus just simply says, come to me on the water. And we take another look at the lake and we remind ourselves how deep it is, and we remind ourselves of the wind and the wave that's blowing all around us. And we say, well, Lord, on second thought, since you're almost already here, I'll just wait. None of those will work. But that's where we spend most of our time, isn't it? When you get the go-ahead, go ahead. There are two parts to this second truth, and they're both necessary. Part A is waiting for God to give you the go-ahead. Waiting. I know we don't like to wait, but we have to wait. We have to wait and listen for the go-ahead. It's all in God's time, not our time. Part B is when you get the go-ahead, actually going. And often we get the go-ahead, but we try one, two, or three, or all these variations, or create a few more. Maybe the question we would ask is, how do I get the go-ahead? How do I get the go-ahead? Well, you know, since Jesus wasn't physically here, isn't physically here talking to us as he was with Peter on that lake that night, how do we know when he's telling us to step out? Very practical question. I can only say, from my experience, about 95% of the time, 90% of the time, something like that, I get the go-ahead from his word, from the Bible. From the Bible. You sit down with God's word, you read it. Sometimes I have to almost force myself to read it. Waiting, seeking, searching. Lord, speak to me, praying that God would show me what I need to do. A particular verse, particular story. Sometimes that'll get your attention. Okay, all of a sudden. And the Holy Spirit starts to speak. And he says, that's what you need to do. The other 5%, 10% of the time, is godly brothers and sisters. People that you know are in the Word. People that you know love Jesus and are trying to follow him. Who have experienced that. Who know him and have known him long enough that they've heard his voice and they know what it sounds like. And they can help you maybe understand what that voice sounds like. Here's what I've learned. If we listen for God's voice, he will tell us what to do. He will tell us. You may be so overwhelmed by the size of your problem that you don't even know what the right thing is to do. The storm clouds around are so thick that they've made your life so dark that you can't see the light of day. And you may be so paralyzed with confusion and fear that you have no clue what your next step might be. I've heard people say it before. I want to walk in obedience, but I have no idea where to start. No idea what to do next. Well, God is showing us. Express your willingness to God and then listen for his voice. Wait and listen. And he will tell you what to do. And when he tells you, have the courage to do it. To do it. Don't take inventory of whether you're able or not. That's immaterial. We're asking God. He can do all things. We need to have the courage to trust that he can do that. And he'll take care of our storm. Or he'll show us where we need to go. Or he'll somehow put solid something under our feet and we can walk on water. We can do the impossible. Peter walked on water. That's a testimony of Scripture. He didn't step into the water and go bloomp. He walked on the water. Read it again and again and again. He walked on water and came toward Jesus. That's usually more than one step. Wouldn't you agree? He was making progress. Walking on that water. There was a miracle going on right there. Big time miracle. When you get the go ahead, go ahead. It will take your life to the next level of faith. And Peter did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He got out of the boat, onto the water, and he walked. Now here's the third truth in this story that I want us to hear. This maybe it's most important. If you start to sink, in other words, we may not do this perfectly. Most of us aren't too experienced in some of these things, you know. If we slip up, if you start to sink, ask for help. Ask for help. The reason why Peter's faith earns an A++ in this story is because when he made a mistake, he responded. He responded in the right way. Look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Surely, who wouldn't be these waves around him. I'm thinking again, I'm way out here. I'm not in the boat. I'm out. People don't walk on water. People don't do the impossible. And beginning to sink, he cried out. He asked for help, didn't he? Lord, he said, save me. When we read this story, we usually focus on the fact that Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he began looking at the wind and he started to sink. And that's certainly true. But when you take your eyes off Jesus and you begin to sink, that's a big lesson here. But the mini lesson is don't take your eyes off Jesus. The big lesson is, if you do, and you and I will, almost a certain given, ask for help immediately. Immediately. You know, I love that little phrase, beginning to sink. And I try to get your timer out. And how long does that take? You know, beginning to sink. We're talking about really milliseconds here, aren't we? You know, you hardly begin to sink. You just sink. It's a glub, you know. Beginning to sink. He asked for help. So it was immediately. He knew right where to go. I hope that every one of us can live every day of our life with our eyes focused on Jesus. That would be so blessed. And we pay no attention to the wind and the waves of our world that go on around us. We'd just be a lovely life just to focus on Jesus perfectly all the way through. If you do, you're never going to sink. You're going to walk on water and it's going to be an easy thing. And, you know, life will be really that bowl of cherries. But the fact is, you and I are as human as Peter. We stick our foot in our mouth like Peter stuck his foot in his mouth. We do crazy things. We do goofy things. We pay attention to reality, as we call it, around us, wind and waves and fears. And when we do, we're going to begin to sink. We're going to begin to sink. When you're stepping out in faith, however, we really know better than to flirt too much with sin. When we're stepping out in faith, we really know better than to just coast. Just coast along. Well, I'll pray when I want to pray. I'll go to church when I want to go to church. I'll talk to God when I want to talk to God. I'll just, you know, whatever. When you're stepping out in faith, you're in a position where you know that if Jesus doesn't hold you up, nothing else will. That's what that means. If we live every day of our life that way, then we're going to find true blessing. That if Jesus doesn't hold me up, nothing else is going to hold me up. I'm going to sink. If you step out in faith, and you suddenly, absolutely begin to sink, the solution isn't to admit failure and say, oh, I knew it. The solution is to swim back to the boat. The solution is to immediately cry out to Jesus. Lord, I need your help here. You invited me to come. I came. Help me. Look at what happened to Peter in verse 31. The Bible says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he said, you of little faith. And I can imagine almost there was a big smile on his face. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And then the Bible says in verse 32, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. It's important to notice what happened between the time Jesus caught Peter and they climbed into the boat. Obviously, they finished walking back to the boat together, right? Jesus was walking with Peter. Peter was walking with Jesus back to the boat. Jesus was holding Peter up, was sustaining him. First, Peter walked on the water away from the boat toward Jesus, and then he returned. He walked on the water back to the boat. That's a lot of walking Peter did. But this time, he was with Jesus. Because when he couldn't make it on his own, he asked Jesus for help. And that's the maxi lesson of this story. That's the big lesson. You can walk on water. We can walk on water. We can go into all the world and make disciples. We can reach this community for Christ, no problem. We could fill this church with people striving to know and learn about Jesus. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. We think it's impossible. We've convinced ourselves, I think, in some ways, oh, that's impossible. Nobody ever does that today. That's just not, you know, everything's on a different... Jesus is saying, get out of the boat. Come, follow me. Come, out of the boat. And we need to hear... we need to hear the truths of this little story and have the conviction of Peter. Maybe to take our faith to another level. Maybe to trust just a little bit more. Maybe to put away all those fears of being made a fool of ourselves or, you know, or whatever. Whatever those fears would be. Maybe no one would like me if I talk too much about Jesus. I'll tell you, the one that matters will like you. He'll like you a lot. All those fears that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. You know, I don't know about those other disciples, how they responded to Peter when he got back to the boat. We can imagine. We didn't imagine. We can imagine. But I would know how some members and some pastors I know would have responded. They'd have probably looked at Peter and said, buddy, you just got what you deserved. How stupid a move was that? To get out of the boat. And you can hear Peter objecting, but Jesus said, come. Yeah, but that's a pretty dumb move, buddy. Pretty dumb move. You got what you deserved. You got out there, you failed. You and your big ideas. Can't you hear that? That's what we normally dish out to one another. But there's just Peter, and he could have said, but you didn't even get your feet wet. You didn't even try. I walked with Jesus. Jesus wants us all to walk with him, to walk on water, so to speak. He wants us to take that first step in faith, to live our life at such a level that the only way we can succeed is to be sustained by his power. That's an out there faith. I used to hear people talk about go to the end of all the faith, all the reality that you can see, and take one more step. One more step. That's faith. To walk on the solid ground, that's not really faith. We can do that. We do that all the time. To walk on water, that takes faith. That takes faith. Well, the story is about faith. It's all about obedience, too. Peter obeyed the simple words of Jesus to come. And you can bet his life was never the same. That's what happens when you walk with Jesus. There are many ways that you and I, we as a church, are in the boat. Storm rages around us. We pray about it and for it every day. The wind, the waves, not sure what the future holds. Do what Peter did. Do what God would want us to do, what he's teaching us to do. Express our willingness to step out in faith and listen for his voice. And when we get the go-ahead, when we understand, when he speaks, go ahead. Don't go until he speaks. But make sure you're listening. And when you get to go ahead, go. He probably won't be saying what you're thinking he might say. He very well might be saying something you don't want to do. But if it's his conformity to his word, his truth, that's him. He's speaking. He's given the go ahead. Go ahead. And after you've taken those first few steps, if you start to sink, if you find it's a little more difficult than you thought it would be, if you're getting some second thoughts about it, ask for more help. Ask for more help. And God will take your hand and He will walk with you. That's His promise. That's who He is. That's what He does. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We love You. And we thank You for loving us and caring about us. Lord, You care. You cared about Peter.